Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. We are under an hour away from the big reveal. The Texans will be unveiling their uniforms, and they will be available for, all the gear will be available for purchase moments later. So keep it tuned right here. The McNairs are in studio with the guys on In the Loop at 11 a.m. today. So, Greg Cosell, you want to set this up, Seth? Greg Cosell was on with Rich Eisen yesterday, right?
Yes, he was. This was, I don't know when he was on with Rich Eisen. It might have been on Friday. But, yeah, Rich Eisen basically revisited last year's draft and, you know, talked about the C.J. Stroud situation. Now, C.J. Stroud is now the standard. That's who you're hoping that you can get in the draft. And
it's just so nice to root for the team that has the gold standard for a quarterback selection the last few years when there have been a lot of bad quarterback selections the last
few years. I think Eisen asked him something along the lines of, you know, when did you know that Stroud was maybe the real deal? And Cosell says that he knew very early on in the week two game versus the Colts.
He made some throws in that game week two, whoever the opponent was, I can't even remember. And I just, you know, called in the guys in our matchup room here at NFL Films and said, hey, look at the timing. Look at the anticipation. Look at when he's starting his delivery to throw this ball. He just saw it really, really clearly. And that's a hard thing to teach. And he just saw it really clearly. And the precise ball location, that's what I spoke about earlier. Just he's so precise. And I actually thought his delivery was more compact a year ago with the Texans than it was his last year at Ohio State. So, yeah, he was really, really good.
That was the part that was one of the more encouraging things about CJ last year, was that he actually improved his mechanics in year one. Where especially CJ's a guy who already had good mechanics, and then he further improved them in that first year, where so much of what you hear about quarterbacks, like Bryce Young last year, is like, well, you can't really fix this during the season. It's something that's going to take a whole offseason. Like, oh, gosh, I think maybe if you draft a guy number one overall and he's had an entire lifetime to work on some of this stuff, that maybe he would
With the greatest coaching that money can buy, as you pointed out earlier,
like personal
coaches and things like that.
Yeah. So there was that. And then I think the other part, too, is just the anticipation and the ball placement, like all of those things. I'm listening to that through a filter of how is it going to be different for Stephon Diggs in Houston compared to what it was in Buffalo. And like Josh Allen, for as good as he is, he still does have some of these accuracy issues that pop up at times, you know, and he's not as polished and as precise a passer as other guys. He's very, very, very good. And he's got other traits that CJ doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when it comes to actually executing the offense, like the dream QB scenario, CJ does a lot of stuff that other quarterbacks who are older than him just flat out don't do and probably are not capable of doing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who the last quarterback is that the answer would have been, when did you realize he would be special? And the answer was week two of his rookie year, you know?
Well, you know, and that,
in a loss, by the way.
Right. Well, that jibes with kind of some of the stuff that I had heard about the Jaguars facing CJ in week three was that, sure, the Texans were 0-2 at that point. CJ did really well after that first quarter versus the Colts in week two. But it was one of those situations where, like, all right, it was really good, but it was also not in garbage time, but playing from behind. And you didn't know for sure how much to take from it. But those Jaguars coaches, I remember Bucky Brooks telling this, because Bucky Brooks was doing the color commentary for the radio. He said the Jaguars coaches before the game, before they had played CJ Stroud, were basically telling Bucky, like, this dude's no joke, man. Yeah. This guy's the real deal.
Yeah.
He's doing some stuff that you just don't see rookies do.
Yeah. I think if I were to look back at this season, we got more from Cosell here in just a second. I remember that week two game against the Colts. I mean, obviously the game overall stunk because they lost to the Colts and they were 0-2. But I remember saying to, I think it was to Clinton Ron in the press box after the game was over, you know, we're gathering up all our stuff and Clinton and I are getting ready to go down and do the post game. And I remember saying to them, like, okay, this, I don't know a lot about what this team's going to be, but this I know, CJ Stroud ain't the problem. Like, that was my big takeaway from that Colts game, is like, okay, this guy, he is really, really good. I think CJ would tell you it was the Pittsburgh game where he started to feel like, okay, this NFL thing. Because that Pittsburgh game, he would also, I think, tell you, like, that was the first team that didn't treat him like a rookie anymore. They did a lot of things that day, yeah. You know, that were different than other teams had seen. And he beat him 30-6 in that game at home, made a lot of really good throws in that game. I think the game that, if you ask people around the league, like, when was the game where CJ Stroud, like, announced his presence with authority outside of Houston to the rest of the league? And some of this answer may have to do with the fact that they didn't play marquee games really the first part of the year, where they were way up the food chain. But I think that Tampa Bay game gets replayed on the NFL Network constantly during the offseason.
That was a down-to-the-wire finish that featured a lot of offense and just some circus plays from CJ and Tank,
yes,
and everything else. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That does pop up a lot.
Yeah.
More so than you ever would have expected for a Texans-Bucks game.
A week nine game with two teams that lost in the divisional round of the playoffs. You know?
Yeah, like,
It's wild. So I think that was the one. That was the one, Seth, where I know, like, my take coming in on Monday and in the post-game show was, okay, we've got one of those guys now, like Mahomes is in Kansas City. We're like, okay, can't leave him 46 seconds. He's going to eat you up. You know?
Right, yeah, and no matter what the score is at halftime, if it's a Monday night game or something, with Tom Brady forever, it'd be like, okay, it's halftime, the Patriots are down by 17, I'm going to go to bed. Ah, crap.
Yeah, right. What did I miss?
It's a really great comeback.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. It's nice, if that's what it ends up being. This next part, this exchange between Greg Cosell talking about what to expect from CJ in his second year, but he says something about Nico Collins that I think almost caught Rich Eisen off guard. See if you can catch it.
Okay. Let's not look at the number of interceptions. He could throw five more interceptions and have a better year. Those are just numbers on a page.
Right.
And you have to look at the plays. But obviously they're going to have three really good receivers because Dell will be back. Nico Collins is a clear number one right now. So they're going to have really good receivers. They have a good tight end.
Yeah, they just added Diggs, too.
That's what I'm saying. They have three really good receivers.
Right.
So I can't imagine, you know, anything's going to be theoretically worse. And again, now you get into numbers and all that, but this kid's a special kid. I've gotten to meet him and know him a little bit. He's a special kid. He's going to be a really, really good player. He is now.
I think Eisen might have been a little surprised that he so emphatically said that Nico was a clear number one. Because I don't think he was. I think he was trying to maybe give a little bit of an assist to Cosell. Even though Cosell had said they'd have three really good receivers, Rich Eisen, to his credit, I think it was like kind of adding the, like, oh yeah, and they added Stephon Diggs.
Sure.
I wonder if he thought that, like, oh, I don't know, did he mean to say Stephon Diggs is a clear number one?
Yeah. No, what would have been great is if Cosell snapped back and said, yeah, I know he's on the team. What do you think? I thought Noah Brown was one of the three receivers that they were talking about. That would have been funny.
Hey, you know what, though? That is one thing. I'm glad you brought up Noah Brown.
Yeah.
Because I think when it comes to whether or not Stephon Diggs will be satisfied with his production, all of that, I think that without looking at year-by-year totals, if you have to worry about Stephon Diggs agitating for the ball at all, I think as long as he gets a few huge production games – it might not matter because the rest of the league will be looking at it as, okay, they've got three really good receivers. If all three of them stay healthy, it makes total, like, Stephon Diggs could be really good and still only get like 1,000 or 1,100 yards or
yes.
something. So if he just has a couple of those Noah Brown type games, where Noah Brown had 300 yards receiving over two games, then I think that'll probably be enough. And the teams will still look at him as a guy they want to pick up and maybe pay in the offseason.
The Nico comment obviously was they got a clear number one in Nico Collins. I know you're not into the number one label for wide receivers, but you know the connotation of it. Do you agree with
right.
that assessment of Nico Collins?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that the counter argument's going to be like, well, what if he was in another system?
Right.
And I'll give you the old Mike McDaniel. Well, who cares? Like, that's not the situation. In this system, a big guy with run after the catch ability. Remember, Nico Collins broke more tackles after the catch than anybody else in the league last year by a pretty healthy margin, too. And he did it while missing two games. Like, I think some people just don't. I've had pushback from this when I talk about Nico being physical after the catch. I like some people just don't want to believe that he broke a boatload of tackles last
year.
And I don't know why necessarily, but that's part of it in this system, and he's really, really good at it.
He took some licks over the middle, too, in some games in the second half of the season, particularly when Tank went down and everybody knew the ball was probably going to Nico Collins. Go back and watch some of those games where they needed to move the chains and they were getting the ball to Nico over the middle.
Yeah.
Nico is tough, man. Like, he is a big, tough wide receiver.
So there will be games this year where teams are going to look at Nico as the number one guy that they have to limit or they have to worry about. And then there's going to be other games where I think teams look at Stephon Diggs and feel like based on their matchups, you know, it very much becomes a match. It's always a matchup league, but especially when a team has three, like, theoretically number one guys or number one production guys or whatever. Your number one receiver doesn't have to be the old X prototype anymore. I think different teams will identify like who they're most concerned about differently.
I know Stephon Diggs is the one who's the most accomplished of the three. I know Nico Collins had the best individual season of the three last year, statistically. I cannot wait to watch Tank Dell this season. I think Tank Dell is just going to be a monster this season.
They're really going to put some teams in a bind.
Oh.
If all three of those guys are healthy, it's really going to be a pain in the butt. It's going to be a huge pain in the butt to defend. The real big question is, you know, because the Texans are going to run the ball. They're just flat out. They're going to. CJ was really effective. I know that you guys want CJ to cook and all of that. The reason CJ was cooking as well as he was because they did a really good job setting up the play action.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've got to actually follow through on getting better at running the ball.
Yes.
So that you don't have to rely on just the passing production to be what. Use the run to set up the play action, sure, but let's get some yardage out of it while we're at it.
Do you where are you on? You said earlier in the show, like, you're cool. We were talking about Saquon Barkley and you were cool with Mixon, you know, as opposed to Barkley. You were not a Barkley guy. I'm not a huge Barkley guy. Where are you on Mixon and with all this array of weapons? Like, what kind of season do you think Mixon is going to have this
year? Oh, okay, yeah. Like, so how does he do, you know, does he break rushing records or anything? It's hard to say without knowing, like, at some point who the other running back they're going to add.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think a Ogunbowale is like who they're probably planning on being the guy with the second most carries. So I expect Mixon to do well. I don't know how to predict. I don't expect them to run him 25 times per game.
No,
I don't think that's the best way to use it. So, like over 1,000 yards and a good chunk of receiving yards, but whatever. He doesn't have to be Adrian Peterson or anything.
No, I don't think so either. I do wonder, like, okay, who's getting those other carries now? You know, like, as you point out, Ogunbowale is on this team. I think more for his special teams traits than actual running back, and then. I mean, you know, unless Damian has made a big jump this offseason, just, you know, in either watching film or just, you know, being able to step back and see what he was doing wrong. I mean, there wasn't a lot for him to watch of Damian Pierce running the football as the season wound down, you know.
Yeah, he was very minimally used towards the end of the year.
I think they're going to draft a guy probably, you know, running back, I would expect, if they, you know, if they end up drafting 7 or 8, 9 guys, something like that. One will be a running back maybe in day 3, something like that. So we'll see.
I'm a Jared Doakes guy. I'm intrigued by Doakes. I just like the name.
Oh, he was one of those camp bodies that was there. Oh, yeah, he was.
He's,
okay,
he's on the roster right now.
Is he? Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. I'm a Dokes guy.
I'm intrigued. Oh, you're that by
guy.
The name.
Yeah, you're the Dokes guy. I got you.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, I love hearing Greg Cosell say all these nice things about C.J. Stroud and the Texans offensively. It's gonna be a fun season.
So how far away are we from this uniform
45
reveal?
Minutes. Yeah.
It's going right at the end of our show, right?
Right at the end of our show. Like literally right at 10 o'clock. We should even count it down maybe here.
And are they going to do, you said you reached out to somebody to ask if they were going to kind of like unveil it in a slick video the way the Broncos did.
I believe
yesterday.
They are. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there'll be some kind of a slick video coming out at 10 on the Texans social media platforms.
Yep.
You're like, how many celebrity appearances do we get in this thing?
I think for sure we get a healthy amount of hip hop in there.
Yeah.
I'm guessing we get, so Bun B, Paul Wall, all the fellas. As far as like former, I'm guessing we get a ton of current Texans because that was the big thing going on the day they did the private reveal for media and the fan council was they had a bunch of the players coming in. I mean, we've seen the pictures, Tank and, at the very least, Tank and Nico took a bunch of pictures in the white and blue uniform. So I'm guessing we get a bunch of current players. I would like the video to like sprinkle in some of the like just little flashes of like the history of the Texans that are cool moments. Like because you're kind of like trying to encapsulate. Yeah, although you're trying to move on to a new era, so maybe they don't want to harp on. Like, let me just say it. I would like for Andre Johnson beating the crap out of Courtland Finnegan to find its way into this video somehow. You know,
oh, that'd be cool. I highly doubt that it would.
Yeah.
Especially with the like, hey, we're taking our colors back or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like that.
God, I wasn't even thinking about that. I just like Courtland Finnegan and watching him get his ass kicked, but I wasn't even thinking about the metaphorical part of that.
What about...
Love that.
What ideas were brainstormed that would have been shot down? My first one, if there was a brainstorming session amongst the creative types that the football people would have shot down. Yeah. I'm Joe creative type brainstorming this. I want to see D'Amico Ryans in a number 59 uniform, not just a jersey, but D'Amico like crashing through
the full,
like dressed as a player with a helmet with a visor on, and he takes the helmet off and it's D'Amico with blood dripping down his face.
How do you think he looks in a uniform these days?
Probably just better than 90% of NFL players.
Yeah. No, I do too. I'm only bringing that up because the last time, like in my brain, when I hear former player in a football uniform, I'm thinking of Jerry Rice, Dan Marino, and Emmitt Smith.
Those commercials.
Waddling around on those commercials.
Kind of creepy.
Yeah. Like I think, and D'Amico's not even 40 yet, and he's in phenomenal shape. So
he would look too good in the uniform. It would look kind of weird by him looking just too good in the uniform. So I don't think it's gonna be D'Amico wearing, or unless now if they brought back D'Amico and they did like a Terry Tate office linebacker type of thing.
Now that would be funny.
That could be the follow up. Yeah, like D'Amico walking around the office, the front office, wearing his football uniform,
motivating people.
Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. The reveal's at 10 o'clock. The McNair's in studio within the loop at 11 o'clock. We've not heard till today or till recently here from Josh Allen on the Stephon Diggs side of things. We're going to hear from Josh Allen. Does this make us as Texan fans feel better, worse, or about the same about the Stephon Diggs trade when we hear from his former quarterback? We'll let you be the judge. That's coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Uniform reveal for the Texans coming up at the top of the hour. We're all over it here. The McNairs are in studio at 11 a.m. today. And we still have yet to hear from Stephon Diggs. Nick Caserio, of course, was asked about that. He said, we don't do the whole uniform, holding up the jersey, free agent coming in, press conference. Okay.
Yeah.
They kind of did.
Made us feel guilty about wanting to hear from Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of did one with Danielle Hunter, minus the jersey. He alluded to the number he was going to wear. But whatever the case, Stephon Diggs will meet with the media eventually. But we have heard now from Josh Allen about the Stephon Diggs trade.
So this is Josh Allen is just his first impressions up in his press conference yesterday with when asked, he was asked no fewer than 9 questions about Stephon Diggs. First question was just simply, you know, what are your feelings about the trade?
Definitely hard to part ways with a guy that's been very instrumental in our success here over the last 4 years. And again, I can't thank him enough for when he came in and how hard he worked and what he taught me along the years. And honestly, I wish we can keep everybody. We've made a lot of changes this offseason, lost a lot of veteran leadership, Steph being one of them. I guess that's the nature of the business. And going into year 7 now, it's just kind of is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they could keep everybody if you didn't make so much damn money, Josh. If you think about that, if you think about how selfish you are for just making it impossible. Now the Bills did actually eat a whole lot of cash just to get Stephon Diggs out of the building.
Right. That's the thing for me. Like, I think Josh Allen is trying not to cause controversy here. I don't know how different his actual feelings are with the field. And we're going to hear more from him here in a second. I know that. But I just like, I mean, you and I differed on opinion on this a little bit earlier. Like, I just feel like for him to reference Stephon Diggs and kind of lump him in with the veteran leadership that walked out of the building, like Poyer and Morse and Micah Hyde. And I mean, Tre'Davious White was part salary, but part he's had injuries. But like, those guys are all like, those are conventional cap cuts that teams make that don't have salary cap space. Like, if Diggs wasn't such a pain in the ass behind the scenes, my guess is he would still be a Buffalo Bill now.
It would be, they're going into a reset year. And I don't know if Josh Allen is even aware of that. Like, sometimes you just, you believe all the propaganda and you tell yourself, and you know, they could have a surprisingly good year because they still do have a good roster.
Sure.
Except for the whole wide receiver thing, because they lost their 2 best wide receivers. Dude. Gabe Davis, did we mention Gabe Davis walking out the door?
Yeah.
So like, that's the big part, is that they can't keep everybody. The reason they can't keep Stephon Diggs is because nobody wants to see an already disgruntled Stephon Diggs go through a reset year and then be 1 year older. So this is ripping the Band-Aid off well at the right moment so you can reset and then move on.
Let's hear more from Josh Allen. What else do we have here?
This is just on whether or not he's spoken to Diggs.
Have you spoke with Steph since the move was made?
Yeah, I shared a text with him and got one back and just thanking him for everything that he did for me and always have a spot in my heart for him. And I'll always love that guy like a brother and, wish him nothing but the best.
It's going to be a little bit like when Tom Brady and Randy Moss split up. And then remember, it was people kept trying to make it seem like, oh, Tom Brady forced him out. And they were trying like hell to create a rift between the two. And it never seemed to be squashed pretty quickly.
Yeah. Oh, between those two. Would love to know Tom Brady. Oh, you were asking earlier, like, what could come up in the Brady roast? Got to be something about Antonio Brown that comes up in that thing, right?
Oh, probably, yeah. Antonio Brown,
real good judge of character there, Brady, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Are you happy? Oh, my gosh. You know what? I hadn't even thought about, I forgot all the dynamics of it, but just Antonio Brown running around talking, hinting that he's slept with Giselle at some point and everything. When meanwhile, like, not to mention the other times that Antonio Brown has like publicly betrayed Tom Brady. And this is the only dude that would sign Antonio Brown bring Antonio Brown onto his team, like with his endorsement at that point in Antonio Brown's career, so he could win a Super Bowl. And Antonio Brown is acting like Tom Brady wronged him somehow. It's amazing.
Seth, he let him stay at his house, Tom Brady did.
I know.
I the list of human beings that I would let stay at my house, Antonio Brown is way down that list.
No, especially after honestly, not to get anybody's personal business, but after the allegations of what Antonio Brown had done in houses before,
yeah,
I don't think you should be inviting him in to stay with your family.
Tossing,
you know,
furniture off of balconies and things like that,
or just like the allegations from his old personal trainer there.
Oh yeah,
just bad stuff, man.
Bad stuff.
You're not a court of law, dude. You don't have to assume innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, man.
You just don't invite him to stay at your house with your hot wife.
That's it. Unsupervised, possibly at times. What else we got from Josh Allen here and Stephon Diggs?
This was Josh Allen on what he learned from Stephon Diggs.
What would you say are some of the things that you learned from his time here with you?
Well, again, I think, you know, the concepts that we were able to put in, the concepts that we were able to run with him, his mentality, the way that he attacked each and every practice, you know, it was very infectious, especially for the young guys seeing that. So that's what I would say.
Okay. I liked about hearing that.
Yeah, the part about him attacking practice, yeah. I think I liked it because it drives home a point that I've tried to make, which is nobody has ever complained about Stephon Diggs' work ethic. Right. That hasn't been the issue.
Yep.
So I think that sometimes people hear a couple bad things about a player and then you would just assume like every bad character trait must be there. He is that classic guy that, you know, people will try to excuse some of the outbursts as saying, well, he's just super competitive or he just wants it all. Travis Kelce. You know, assaulting Andy Reid, the elderly Andy Reid on the sideline. Well, he just, you know, he's fiery. He wants to win.
Yep.
But yeah, that part of him, that part of Stephon Diggs is not an issue or in doubt at all. It's like he's not going to be, I don't think, he's not a guy that demands vet treatment and only wants to practice on Friday or anything like that.
Yeah, I loved hearing that. You know, he's already working out with some of the young guys. He's like, if you're worried about Stephon Diggs infecting the young players in the receiver room and the franchise quarterback, well, your worrying has already begun because he's working out with them in California. He's hanging out with them. You know, he was hanging out with Tank Dell when Stephon Diggs came in for the Travis Scott softball game. You know,
they might get infected with a burning desire to practice harder.
That's right. If you're gonna get infected,
if you're
gonna
get a burning
burns,
sensation from an infection, have it be burning with something burning within you to achieve.
Absolutely. We got more from old Josh Allen here, Seth.
Oh God, so much.
Give me more.
They asked so many questions, Sean. On what he learned.
You said they asked 9 Stephon Diggs questions in this press conference.
9. Yes. 9 Stephon Diggs questions. And Josh Allen, to his credit, just never looked frustrated or aggravated or
can we
move along here? You know.
Yeah.
Josh Allen on what he learned about managing relationships from his time with Stephon Diggs.
You know, I feel like I'm one of the guys, and sometimes I have to remind myself that, you know, you're looked at a little bit differently. You know, guys are relying on you a little bit more, and understanding that. And but trusting coaching staff, trusting your teammates around you, and having that type of humility where it's like you're able to say when and where you're wrong. And I think that's, you know, what we've learned over the last few years, not just with him, but with other receivers and with other players as well. It's everybody's got a different type of relationships. You know, everybody has something different that makes them tick.
It's going to be real interesting watching them operate with, I don't know who, Curtis Samuel as their most accomplished wide receiver right now.
Yeah,
like, it'll be, Josh Allen is probably not going to show, like, you know, cracks in the armor or anything like that if he's frustrated or if they're not able to operate at the same level they did with Diggs on the team. Because even though Diggs' stats were down in the second half of the season, I got to believe his mere presence on the field was a big reason why they were winning football games and still, you know, and scoring more points and moving the football.
Yeah, he was still attracting attention.
Yeah.
And he was still getting, they were doing a lot more dinking and dunking with him and then taking selective deep shots. And he was getting open. It's just that Josh Allen, like he sometimes does, just isn't always that accurate with the football.
Mm-hmm.
And then Stephon Diggs had some, like, everything was off. Stephon Diggs had drops. I think the biggest thing there, though, too, is just to kind of, I think there's where some relationships just run their course. Josh Allen there is talking about, like, realizing, oh, okay, I got to act more like an adult now, and I guess I got to take accountability for when I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Like, all of this stuff that, honestly, It's exactly how it looked from the outside. Is it okay? You have this young, immature quarterback that needs refinement and probably has never even really thought of himself as a leader. Then all of a sudden, Stephon Diggs comes in and supercharges everything. And yet, Josh Allen is still... There's been a little bit of an arrested development with him, with both his actual process as a quarterback and then I think his role as a leader. This is stuff that CJ all handled in college.
Yep.
Like, and got and thought about and focused on and understood immediately in college, like, okay, this is, I'm not one of the guys anymore when it comes to how much people depend on me and how I need to be with the relationships. So it's going to be a completely different relationship with CJ than it was with Josh.
I 100% agree. I felt that to begin with. Those clips we just played, I feel a little bit better about the trade. I already felt good about the trade because the expectation that I have for Stephon Diggs is not the same one Buffalo had 4 years ago when they traded for him. They were trading for a guy who's going to be a number one wide receiver for them through the prime years of his career and be with Josh Allen for a long, long time. It didn't work out that way. I'd sign up for one really good year out of Stephon Diggs. And then if he moves on, he moves on. Like, that's where I'm at with it.
Well, and it did work. It worked for 3 years. It worked up until the playoffs of the third year when things at least outwardly bubbled over, you know? It was, I think people don't realize that Stephon Diggs was there for 4 years. That COVID year kind of gets just thrown out in the wash in our minds. Like, he was there a long time before things got bad.
Yep, and he was great in that COVID year. He was all pro in that. Yeah. It was his first year there. He was phenomenal there. And I think the thing that made me feel even better about the deal was the part that I know perked your ears up to about Stephon Diggs, the way he attacks practice, the way he sets an example for the younger guys. Josh Allen didn't have to say that. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't have to say that in that answer. He volunteered that. And nobody, the question wasn't, what are Stephon Diggs' practice qualities like? It was, what did you learn from him?
Right, and that's kind of why I wanted to listen to the press conference, was that I knew that Josh Allen was going to handle it diplomatically. But when you choose to compliment the things that can be genuine compliments, what do you choose? And it was, I found that interesting that that's what he chose.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, we head into the final segment. 22 minutes till the top of the hour, the big uniform release for the Texans. The McNairs will be in studio at 11 a.m. with John and Landry. Up next, one of my favorite players in this draft who could be there when the Texans pick at 42 did an interview. Have the Texans been doing due diligence on this guy? This is just a guy whose voice I want to hear, if I'm being honest. We'll let you hear that coming up next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, big shout out and credit to John Crumpler, who is covers the Texans for USA Today for Texans Wire. He's a good Twitter follow too. Give him a follow there. But he had, he's had a few draft prospects on via Zoom on his on his podcast. He's done a nice job this draft season.
He's done some good interviews in general because he's had, I think he had J.J. Watt not too long ago on there also. So good follow on social media.
Yep, very good. He had possibly my favorite player in that late first through the second round part of the draft.
Yeah.
That would be Xavier Leggett, the wide receiver out of South Carolina. And, you know, I like him as a player. I know he's a late bloomer, had a big season with Spencer Rattler this past year. Prior to that, he had not done much. So it's a big question. Is he a one-year wonder, that kind of thing? This I know. I love his voice. We're going to hear from Xavier Leggett with Crumpler in just a second. But just to refresh everybody's memory, this was Xavier Leggett when he was asked about, what's your strength as a wide receiver a few weeks ago?
Oh, man, I say the deep ball, man. But I really feel like any way that I get the ball in my hand, I could get it to that end zone.
I mean,
yeah, he's very country.
He's best.
He's very country. And he's it's a weird story. He went 4 years, because he's got that COVID year, with hardly any production at all. And then all of a sudden this year just blew the roof off in terms of production. He said Spencer Rattler, I think, made a big difference. Rattler's been there 2 years too. It was this year that Leggett really just went crazy and was all over the place. His highlights are impressive, because he's a big dude that can run, and when he gets out in the open field, he looks damn near unstoppable at times. So yeah, a lot of intrigue about him. Just like trying to figure out where. Was this a one-year wonder type of scenario? Was it just the system and Rattler, or is he the real deal? But right. Probably going to go in the second or third round.
Yeah, he actually told Crumpler yesterday. I don't have this audio here. He told Crumpler yesterday, this is what made the most news. We're going to get to the Texans part of this here. But he said that basically the Carolina Panthers have made him a promise that if he's there in the early part of the second round, they're taking him.
Which, oh, really?
Yeah, which, look, that's tricky for teams to do, because you never know who's going to slip down the draft board and then they break their promise to him. Whatever, it's business. But he's from that part of the country. You know, he played at South Carolina. He's from there. I would imagine he would be, certainly somebody Bryce Young could use. Here was Xavier Leggett. John Crumpler asked him, have you talked to the Texans? Have the Texans done any due diligence on you?
Have you met with the Houston Texans at all during this process?
Third day was my first visit.
Okay. And so how was that visit, and what would it be like to play with a quarterback like C.J. Stroud as a rookie?
Man, playing with C.J. Stroud, man, that's almost just as better than playing with Pat Mahomes. C.J. Stroud, he young in his league, so man, he did a great job his rookie season. And just if I'm blessed enough to go there and just be able to grow with him, you know, we could do some damage in the league.
Good. I'm glad he kept it. I started it after that Senior Bowl. The interview we had played was from the Senior Bowl.
Right.
He got a whole lot of attention for just having such a country accent. And I felt like in some of the subsequent interviews that he tried to he tried to make his accent more boring. And I don't know, maybe he's still doing that in press conferences, but at least when he was one-on-one with John Crumpler, it sounds like he felt more comfortable being himself.
Yeah, good credit to Crumpler there, man, getting the best version of Xavier Leggett in the interview. Now, how about one of these young receivers saying, getting drafted to the Texans to play with C.J. Stroud would be like going to play with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
That's a pretty nice compliment.
Right. I guess, you know what they could have, I don't know if John asked him this or not. I didn't watch the whole interview, but was like, okay, that'd be like going to play for Pat Mahomes. But here's the thing. Pat Mahomes doesn't, like, it's a winnable competition at wide receiver in Kansas City.
Yeah.
They don't have a whole bunch of good wide receivers as of these last couple of years. You come to Houston, you're not going to win a competition your rookie year. Like, those spots are all taken up. And that's where I do wonder. I'd be really surprised if the Texans take a wide receiver in the second round, just because there's no room for necessarily development unless somebody gets injured. You'd also be closing the door likely on John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson.
Yeah.
So I think if they're going to go for upside, I feel like it might be like any one of these. There's just so many wide receivers.
There are.
That if they fall into the third or fourth round, then that might be where it would be. I'll just be surprised if they do it in the second round.
Now that you bring that up, though, I do remember Nick in his press conference last week, his pre-draft press conference, and he was asked about this, and he said, there are some prospects that you look at in the draft, and you know, I'm totally paraphrasing here, obviously, but you know going in, we're not drafting that guy to help us this season. You know,
and that's
the balancing act you've got to have. We're drafting him. If you're going to draft a wide receiver, and I don't know that he's going to be there at 42. From everything I'm seeing, and especially the Carolina Panthers promised him at 33 they'd take him, then he won't be there. But he may be the perfect wide receiver to take, given that you've got three guys. I mean, this would give him an opportunity to really kind of, you know, develop. You're not throwing him into the fire early here. I didn't watch a ton of South Carolina football this year, Seth, but the back of the football card, I know everybody hates the back of the card, but the back of the football card would indicate to me this is somebody who's probably still pretty raw if he's just bursting onto the scene that 1 year at the end. And you probably watch more of him than I have. I just feel like if that's the case, then, you know, that might be a decent wide receiver. Now, 42 is, I'd rather they get somebody who contributes at that spot, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, and I think that, again, when you talk about guys that you might not expect to contribute in year one, that tends to be the guys that are slipping out of the top couple of rounds, you know?
Yes.
Like, you usually, that's one of the things that gets guys drafted higher, is if it feels like he can pay immediate dividends. So, the wide receiver spot, more than anything, what we'll learn is, okay, if they draft a guy in the top three rounds, you feel like they just really, like, okay, why are they not expecting, like, Mitchell to be the guy that's going to be the next,
Mechie.
I was looking at Adonai Mitchell, Mechie to be the guy that ends up, you know, stepping up in another year or two, or Xavier Hutchinson.
You know what that is? It means they don't trust C.J. Stroud's scouting skills, because C.J. went out of his way last week in his press conference to praise John Mechie, even in questions that weren't even about Mechie. He praised him in three straight questions,
which
was about John Mechie. So if they're doing that, then it's like, yeah, we trust you throwing the football, CJ, not picking players, okay?
No, I think CJ, look, CJ is always going to have the receivers who are on their team. He's going to have their backs.
For sure.
I don't think that necessarily, you know, CJ doesn't have to interpret it that way, I suppose. We've already got the myth out there that he told the Texans to draft Tank Dell.
I like that myth.
I know, it's just such a stupid myth that's been so, it's taken as fact, like, outside of Houston.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, people remember the story that, like, oh, yeah, he told them to draft. Because remember, that was one of the last vestiges of, same old stupid Texans. Because the story was, oh, they drafted C.J. Stroud, and then C.J. Stroud said, hey, Nick, go draft this guy.
Yeah.
And people said, stupid Texans, just doing everything backwards. Yep.
I'm going to pull this audio later, probably for draft day, just to kind of reminisce about a year ago, about, you know, that fateful night where they got C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson. But the Texans posted the Caserio, D'Amico, Cal phone calls to C.J., to Will Anderson, and to Tank Dell.
Yeah.
And the Tank one is the best because it's just D'Amico. It's the shortest of the three. Third round, I don't know if kind of Cal may not be in the war room in the third round, but the first two picks, obviously, supremely important. So we're watching GM, head coach, owner. The one for Tank is the best because D'Amico gets on the phone and says, hey, my man, how we doing? And Tank just goes, it's on, coach. It's on. It's on. Like, we got to play that. It's so good. My son sent it to me. Like, I love Tank Dell. Like, Tank Dell is just the best, and he is. It's on, coach. But that's how D'Amico talks about him. Like, Tank Dell walks around like he's got a chip on his shoulder all the time, you know?
If there's ever any other big, like, moments in my life where I get inducted into something or get invited to join some Illuminati club or something.
Yeah.
It's going to be disappointing for the people that want to tell me because I will not be answering the phone. You got big news to tell me. You go ahead and text me or email me.
Yeah.
I will not be having a voice conversation.
Or let
you.
Me know you're calling at such and such a time and then I know to pick up.
Even then, good chance I'm not going to pick up the
phone. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I try like hell to never talk on the telephone. So, if I were getting drafted this year, I would have a strict no telephone call policy.
You and I have been doing this show together. We're coming up on 5 years in July. I think you and I have talked on the phone during that time maybe three times. Maybe three.
It was probably with Armin, our old boss.
I'm not counting those. I'm not counting those. Yeah, it was more counting those. But it was just you one-on-one conversations. And it's usually when one of us has, like, something juicy to tell the other one. You know what I mean? Like, that's
that you don't want a record of. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. 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 All right, so we are, we're 4 minutes and 30 seconds away.
The only time y'all talk is walking down the street outside of a diner.
Big reveal. Yeah, on opposite sides of the street.
Yeah.
Yeah. For culpable deniability. Yeah.
Or just because it's COVID. Remember the story of Bill O'Brien and Jackie?
Oh, yeah.
Screaming back and forth at each other across
going
the street.
On walks.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
We go on walks together.
Those are happy times, man, I tell you.
Oh God, I forgot about the walks. Lord. That was supposed to be so encouraging. Yeah. They walked through the neighborhood together. It was. This is not oversold. That was really a sales pitch.
Oh yeah,
they
yeah.
used to go on walks together in the neighborhood.
Think of the horrible ideas that got hatched on those walks. Like, think of just some of the conversations had
to sound like. And the funniest thing was that Jack was so obsessed, because this was when he actually did the press conference. He actually goes, and we walked through the neighborhood and we maintain our social distance too.
Yeah.
Give a rat's ass if you have a social distance.
Good job, Jack.
Hey, Bill, do you ever feel like you could climb up on that building and jump off it and fly? And Bill was like, what, you think I'm scared to? I'll do it. I know you can, Bill. I know you could do it, but let's just wait.
I need the basement. I need security video from Bill O'Brien's neighborhood of the two of them hatching the Eric Murray signing or the Randall Cobb contract. Like, when was this a good idea?
Oh man.
How you guys doing?
Great.
Uniform reveal coming up in about 3 minutes.
Here. It's out there now.
Big anticipation.
Like, let's be serious. Someone just put out like pictures of the merch store and everything. Like this.
Oh,
this
really?
But
the video comes out in 3 minutes.
Oh, correct. Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Team
yeah.
video. I'm intrigued by the videos.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm
and
here
then
for.
There's a
not
there's
to be
an
mistaken with the
logo.
Seven last week.
Yeah. Were there videos leaked last week?
Nah, there was just like a 15-minute video, and then they dropped like 6 1-minute videos within the same hour and a half. It was a lot.
Yeah. Do you think it'll be better, worse, or about the same as the Broncos video yesterday?
That was good video.
Oh,
was
it? Okay.
Yeah, that was good video.
Yeah, it took them a little while to get to the point. You know, I'm like, can we move along?
I actually skipped ahead. I thought it was pretty cool. Then I skipped ahead on the video.
It was taking a long time to get there.
Let's just see these suckers.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Us young kids these days, we have short attention spans, you know?
I thought it was incredibly tasteless, given that O.J. Simpson just died, that they did a tribute to O.J. Simpson in a Bronco chase. It was like, that was clearly... I'm like, I'm watching a Bronco racing along the highway all by itself. This is an O.J. Simpson tribute.
Oh, I didn't either. That's okay.
Catch by you.
Okay, that's a nice Easter egg right there.
That's a good catch by you, my friend.
I like that a lot. So, Cal and Hannah coming in studio. How do we expect that conversation to go with you two near?
Lopez is going to be giggly and happy to be around rich people. He's going to giggle even more than usual.
What the John? Hell he's talking John, about? John?
You know, I'm almost,
it's basically going to be like a laugh track of an 80s sitcom.
Okay.
I think you both realize I've kind of just become numb to it all.
I can tell.
Just like, oh, he's taking another unfair shot that has nothing to do with nothing.
In all seriousness, do they have any beef with you guys right now?
I don't think so.
Probably, no, I think perhaps. They like mixing it up with us.
They do.
Yeah, for sure. They like the fact that we will tell them certain things that maybe are a little bit unfiltered, and they unfilter back.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and they're if anyone's looked good in this, it's them. I just remember a year ago. I even remember, we can go back a year ago when they were working the rounds at the draft party, and it was kind of like, okay, it's nice of them to do that, but they weren't really, I mean, they were there.
No.
But people were happy-ish to see them, but I think if you look at the, like, if there was like a draft party like there was last year, and they were worked in the room last year like they were this year, I think their hard work has paid off, and I think they've done a good job of making people feel pretty good about how things are.
It has dropped.
It's out there now. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
We got the unis, baby.
The unis are out. All right, we got the unis. We won't even count down. All right, we'll let you guys dig into that. Seth, antibodies and new uniforms to you, my friend.
Antibodies and a Bronco chase to you.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.